and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. My name is Kevin Walter. I am your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We've been doing business since the 90s, and we have a very nice facility, and we offer the highest-rated privately held depository service in the western United States, and it's reasonable. The boxes begin at $60 a month. It's a very secure facility. Just to throw out there, if there's anyone out there that's like ex-military and wants a part to full-time job doing some different security work for us, we're open to that. That's about all I'll kind of lean out there with that. There's no real reason other than times are just getting so weird that we're starting to believe that that's not a bad idea. Last night I was heading home. I came into work for a few hours. Pretty much took a couple weeks off helping my wife after she had a pretty extensive reconstructive foot surgery done. And there was a business down the road. It was a liquor store, but still, there was about 50 kids out there, college age. It was about 10 at night, and it just looked fishy to me, so I swung by, and there was one guy in there working, and a whole bunch of kids out in the parking lot and in the store. There was probably 25 or 30 in the store, and there was a fair amount of them stealing stuff. And I walked in and I said, "Hey, you doing all right?" I just could smell it, you know. And I said, "Hey, you doing all right?" And he goes, "No." And so I did. I won't get into the details, but I stood there and I tried to help him out as much as I could. I definitely made a difference. But they're getting empowered. People are just getting so empowered. The lack of enforcement of laws. Not only, I mean, a lot of the police, it's discouragement. They're done. I mean, they don't even want to try because it gets them in trouble. And then, you know what they're doing? This whole concept about, reform the police, all they're doing is making them madder and more divisive towards citizens. And then the internal training is getting so aggressive towards the citizens. They have what's called, a friend of mine that's in law enforcement at a real high level said they've started what's called one in a million training, and he just retired. Another guy I know that hasn't retired was talking about it, and they do this one in a million training. So they tell them one in a million chance. If you're pulling someone over, there's one in a million chance that you're going to get shot. And they do all the training based on one in a million. And if you really think about it, that's not a safe, healthy mindset. That's like running around worrying about the most minuscule thing that can happen. Yeah, you need to be smart and prepared, but it's making them focus on the one in a million chance. And so when they approach a vehicle for a traffic stop, they're being trained. Watch out for that one in a million, that one in a million, that one in a million. And it's basically leading towards a lot of apprehension, anxiety, and then friction because they're being told this is a good way to respond. And the whole idea of serving the public is gone. I mean, I've seen numerous situations where, the police are just not public servants anymore. They're kind of like the Gestapo. And I don't mean this derogatory towards them as law enforcement officers because they have their own perspective based on the changes in our environments. But if all you're looking at all the time is the one in a million, I've known two physicians that worked in an emergency room for a long, prolonged period of time with children, their own children, not in the emergency room. In both cases, both physicians have become like super crazy helicopter parents because they're only seeing the one in a million or whatever. They're seeing those random awful events that happen to people, and then they start to fear that happening to their kids. And that whole mentality obviously is not the way we're supposed to live our life, because what is it? I've talked about it. It's fear. Even if you're a law enforcement officer, how can you live in faith if you're living in fear? Fear and faith occupy the same part of the brain. You can't have both. So anyway, I think that's having a major effect. But at the same time, you know, things are changing fast. I can't believe the evolution, the rapid, I should say, degeneration of crime and society, and, you know, the prisons are overbooked and they're letting everyone out, and it goes on and on and on. And I can tell you, folks, if you don't get punished or incarcerated for certain crimes, it's a proven fact. They go on to commit bigger crimes. That's what Rudy Giuliani proved in New York with what they called the broken window theory. I mentioned that recently, where they'd go to a certain part of town and, it was probably some kind of a study where they took, you know, two identical buildings that were abandoned in a certain part of town, and they broke a couple windows out of one of them and none out of the other. Well, the building that had windows broken out, a few, ended up with like all of them broken out. I don't know what the whole psychology is there. There's a lot of different psychology studies about human behavior. There's the fact that people will ignore people that are being abused and raped in public places. There's the Milgram study where they tell these the subjects that they haven't, that they're testing a new program where they send an electrical impulse. This has been going on. This started back in the 60s. They send an electrical impulse to someone on the other side of the wall that's supposed to be taking a test and answering questions. And whenever they get a question wrong, this was based on the Nuremberg trials, which was about Nazi Germany. And they were like, how do people get to this point? Part of the thrust of the study was uniforms, official uniforms. And they did the study in different locations and all kinds of stuff. But the point was, when someone's wearing a uniform, we're trained to respect that uniform. So they have, or even doctors, you know, so they have a guy sitting by. So they have one guy on one side of a wall, and the person on the other side can hear him. The person that's supposedly being electrocuted or whatever is an actor. The subject's on the other side of the wall with this little dial, and then there's a doctor sitting by him. And every time they get a problem wrong, the doctor goes, okay, administer the electric shock or whatever. And then it goes up and up and up and up and up until the dial goes to the point where it says, you know, lethal. And 80% of the people would do it when the doctor was standing there telling him, pushing him to do it. There was, you know, 20% that wouldn't. And of the total group, there was 3% that absolutely went military on him, where they had to, you know, they wanted to totally tear the doctor's head off and go save the person. Those are the people we need more of in this country. I think now, years back, there were studies that showed the founders of our nation, okay, these, the brave men that founded our nation are a lot of times the ones that end up being diagnosed with a variety of mental illness now and becoming medicated, okay? And there's different kinds of medication, obviously, right? We've got antipsychotics and SSRIs, but what happens is it numbs it out. And as of years back, they said that like 25% of society was on some form of mood-altering medication. We went off into the opioid crisis, which I remember when that hit, I was like, this is silly. I mean, Tucker Carlson on Fox, who must be a mouthpiece, you know, he's going on and on about how horrible the opioid crisis was. And on and on and on. So they go after pharmaceutical companies for billions and billions and billions and billions. And they basically shut down the whole opioid thing. And then what happens? Here comes fentanyl from China. Well, looking back, there's a lot of evidence that China was behind the propaganda of the opioid crisis. The death rate, supposedly, from opioid prescription pharmaceutical opioids to street-bought fentanyl opioids has increased 1,000-fold. Okay, so years back, there were studies that came out. You'd always hear OxyContin killed him. OxyContin killed him. I had a friend whose daughter had a really bad, some kind of an adrenal gland disease. And she had to take medication, and she was young, and she was like 21. And she'd been out, you know, she would go out and party and hang out with friends. And she hadn't taken her medication, and she drank and did this and that. But she'd also had some surgery or whatever, so she had some hydrocodone in her system and whatever. Or oxycodone, whatever it was. So when she died, the local newspaper from Helena, Montana called and talked to the mom. The mom should have been more careful. The newspaper asked what all medications she was on. Like, it's their business, right? Well, the mom, being naive, tells them. So she died from failure to take medication of her for her adrenal gland. One of the medications she'd been using was, like I said, hydrocodone or oxycodone. Actually, this is the story. It was hydrocodone. It was hydrocodone. And a few, you know, and some other stuff that was in her system, like, who knows, marijuana, alcohol, whatever, but not like toxic levels. So the gal writes an article, front page of the Helena Times, you know, and she was 21. And it says, OxyContin claims another teenage life. And she was over, you know, she was 21. It was hydrocodone, not oxycodone. And even the coroner said it had nothing to do with the death. So that's the propaganda, the hype, the fear. So they get rid of pharmaceuticals where you know what you're getting. And you think of how many people. I mean, my wife used to get prescribed stuff, but she didn't take it hardly ever. But then after this all started, she'd hardly get her prescription full. I don't want you to think she was pounding a bunch of stuff, but she'd have it around because she has juvenile onset rheumatoid arthritis. In fact, before the show, I was up at the orthopedic surgeon's getting her first cast off and stitches removed. And she has pins and screws and plates in her foot. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Just kidding. But when all this went down, she'd been going to this rheumatology clinic for like, 28 years. Right, roughly, say 27 or 6, whatever, 25, whatever, right? And all of a sudden, they start making my wife, who's 50, never had a problem in her life, they start making her take urinalysis to verify that she's using the medication. Well, she doesn't use it all the time, and she wasn't getting it filled that much. And so they're like, well, hey, you know, you don't have this medication in your urine. You must be selling it. And, of course, we go through and deal with that. I mean, it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. But this is the new paranoid mentality. And so, you know, we go through all that. And then, basically, after that, the entire clinic, which is the hugest in our area, hands down, bar none, they just stopped prescribing any type of opioids to these people with extreme, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. A lot of people say, oh, I have rheumatoid arthritis, because they want you to go, oh, it might, they want to try to exaggerate how extreme their pain is. Rheumatoid's an autoimmune issue where your body literally attacks the synovial tissue between your bones and just devastate, you know, the attachment points, everything. They're, you know, all your fingers go ulnar drift, you know, they, everything just starts to deviate extremely. And so real rheumatoid is visible. It's brutal. And they don't even prescribe for that anymore. So then what happens? You get all these people that were using these medications. And I'll agree, there's probably a lot of them that are addicted. But, I mean, my thing is, addiction is a natural human response. It's God gave us a body that adapts, okay? Chuck Missler talked one time about, and I heard him, about the human body that God made. He was showing where we could adapt to different planets over time. Lower oxygen, more or less gravity. The vessels that God gave us, which is another thing that's stupid about the theory of evolution. Otherwise, we would have evolved specifically for this planet. And then people say, well, maybe we came from another planet. But they are made to adapt to your environment over time. So part of what causes addiction is when you introduce a foreign substance over a period of time, I mean, your body changes its chemistry to adapt. Well, a lot of times these medications provide a euphoria or whatever. Your body tries to subdue that. It says, okay, I'm not homeostatic right now. And it creates a chemical and hormonal and whatever else response, cortisol and all that. And it responds to try to regulate that substance. So over time, your body's changed and now you're addicted. Because if you stop using that medication or whatever it is, your body is not operating in its natural state. So addiction isn't all, everyone's not a junkie. When addiction becomes bad is when people, you know, when it ruins lives, affects families, destroys health, creates crime, etc. And a lot of it is black market because it's black market. If they say something's illegal, it becomes criminal and it attracts criminals. And so anyway, but the point is, some of those people were probably addicted, obviously, and probably still are. And who knows, they might be buying stuff off the streets is the thing. But the fact of the matter is now they don't know what they're getting. They get 1,000, you know, of every 1,000 fentanyl pills, there's one lethal dose in there. And a buddy of mine who was involved in the whole chemistry and drug thing, they're all over the board. Their purity is unregulated, and you just don't know what you're getting. So it's ironic that the opioid crisis was the precursor to fentanyl, because otherwise, you know, 20 years ago, let's see, yeah, 20 plus years ago, and before, they'd always say pain is the fifth vital sign or whatever. And they'd make sure that they regulated pain. They had all this different science at the time that showed if you have like a surgery or an injury, if you can't relax, your body can't heal. Your body does not heal under stress. Your body, when you're under stress and pain, you're releasing endorphins, corticosteroids, all kinds of adrenaline, you know, all that stuff. And it prevents healing. So they'd say, hey, you need this medication to relax or to ease up. You know, it's like a friend of mine said he was on, I don't remember what it was after surgery. He said the surgery still hurt really bad, but he said the meds made me just not care, you know. So anyway, there was a purpose, and I'm just saying, you can't believe everything you say, and forever we've been anti-drug, and my problem is, folks, the overpopulated prisons they really are full of nonviolent crime. They're full of people that possessed something that it was a contraband. There's just a lot of crazy stuff. I also have a problem with the laws that forbid a felon from owning a gun. Now, there are certain felons you don't want, or convicts you don't want owning a gun, and there's always room for that. But the point is, the whole concept of doing time, in most cases, is you pay your debt to society. They put you in jail to keep you off the streets. A lot of it's punishment, and a fair amount of it is to, if it's to protect society, then you gotta be careful with that. But if it's just someone doing time to pay their pay, you know, don't do the crime if you can't do the time, you know. And so in those circumstances, why can they not own a gun? They're still U.S. citizens and they can't vote. That they can't vote, but illegal immigrants can. Is that a good system? I'm gonna go with probably not. I think you probably know where I'm coming from. There's, you know, before I go forward again, I want to really emphasize, and I'll touch on it a little bit more too, where you put your money. Obviously, there's more ads out there now for gold and silver, you know, precious metals investments. I'm seeing them all over. My sister was helping a friend with an estate and just sent me some stuff from a friend of hers. Her dad, you know, bought a bunch of stuff through, you know, one of these mixed match companies you hear on the radio or the TV. Every single thing they sold him, they charged at least double. And this is what they do. So do not go calling some company far away where you're given an account exec or an account rep. We've made the calls. We've played the consumer. And when we even hint that we have a clue whenever we ask price, they'll bounce us through four or five people. We'll get shucked and jived and slid all around. They will lay you out. And a lot of them love the 401ks and IRAs and push them hard. Why is that? You never see the product. There are people that we help that thought they had 1 ounce proof American Eagle gold coins, okay? A 1 ounce gold coin is right today, you know, 1800 and some bucks an ounce. Eagles are probably close to, you know, upper 1900s. And proofs are a couple hundred more than that. So they thought they had 1 ounce proof gold. Well, they ended up getting quarter ounce proof gold, which is a quarter of the value, and they were paying full throttle. So they were paying fourfold. And they had like $368,000 that they'd invested. When that gold was first put in their IRA, they had like 90 some grand. And it sat there, you know, forever, and they wanted to liquidate it and pull it out. They brought in their statements to me, and I'm like, this isn't what you thought. And the other thing is the 401k IRA holders, the trustees, they send you out a statement, and they just calculate the value based on the bullion content, which is fine because it reduces your payout when you withdraw, but they were showing them right away. The money wasn't even close, but these people said, well, they thought that was just a mistake. Well, if you think someone's making a mistake on $300,000 of your investment, you might want to address it. I've worked with other people, same situation, but once it's done, it's done. All I'm telling you is, straight up, use Coins Plus. There's so many problems you avoid. Number one, we're 100% fair. We do all the research on value. Okay, we know the national market wholesale, not retail. There is no retail on an investment. That'd be like saying, oh, you know, I want stock in Tesla. And it'd be like going, well, you know, Tesla's having some broker go in their minds, well, Tesla is trading today at $120. I think I'm going to charge these people $400 a share. They can't do that because the SEC regulates them. And that's what they're doing with the metals, okay? And it's a real nemesis to me. It hurts my reputation. It hurts our industry, so on and so forth. These people get on the phone. They'll mimic being a Christian. They're not. They're good at it. They're con artists. And I'm super sorry to have to say this, but please, I beg of you, listen to me. Trust me. If you have parents or elderly, they're the most susceptible. And these people will push. They'll smell it. And they won't back off until they close the deal. You know, I've seen elderly people get conned and scammed so many ways, folks. So I'm just going to lay that out there. I hope you hear me. I know there's the naysayers like, oh, yeah, right, Kevin. You're just, you're just another one of them. And you're just saying this and that. Test it out. Get a list of items. Call for quotes. And by the way, when they start giving you the runaround and the jerk around and not giving you the price, that's pretty much, if you're me in my industry, I know that's all there is. But you can keep pushing. You'll see. They have commissioned salespeople. They mark the tar out of it. They'll double it up, triple it up, and then the salesperson gets like 30% of the profit. We have nothing like that. We're making a few percentage points on everything. I couldn't afford to pay a commission salespeople, and I never would, because I don't want a conflict of interest. That gives the salesperson the initiative to take advantage of you, to treat you wrong, to charge you too much. And I have zero desire, but I also don't want the karma or the, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will reap life. I'll take life. I'll choose life. You know, you when you sow to your flesh, you get corruption. And if you meet, and I'll tell you something else, just continuing on. I've been in the business world a long, long time. And I always have different experiences. And I recently had one with an audio visual guy who's just monstrously arrogant and rude, and it sucks. But, and afterwards I talked to my wife and I said, you know, I've always said forever, the more corrupt the method a man makes his money by, the more pompous and arrogant they become. So if you look at like car salesmen that are just, you know, really into taking people's heads off, you'll see it there. Think of the drug cartel. They are so corrupt and so dark and so bad, they just get extremely arrogant. They think they're untouchably bulletproof. And what do? They get to the point where they're killing people. And you'll see people that are in different industries taking advantage of people in different ways. Or when I run into people that are just flat dishonest and corrupt, they get so arrogant. It speaks for itself. It's sort of a curse on this earth. We see it the same with theft. You know, over the years I've had embezzlement and I watched this FBI lady who specialized in corporate embezzlement, and she was talking about that. She didn't say what I just said, But they vilify their employer. They become this arrogant distance, like they're better than you. It's called contemptuousness, where they look down their nose. They get really overconfident because they can't get close, because they, if anything ever comes up, it'll be a personal issue. And also, if they get close, you're going to know more about their life. And they act like they're doing you a favor, which is crazy. I had a guy for 15 years with me, brought him from $7 an hour, and by the time he left, trust me, he was making a ton. And he just kept stealing, and that personality over time developed. So it's just, it's sort of one of the curses of God. It's like in Proverbs where it just talks about, you know, people who live corruptly are living corruption within their bone structure, and it's natural law. So there's the whatever lesson for the day. When it comes to money, you want to be wise, and things should seem simple. You should not be confused, and don't ever say, oh, I'm just too dumb to understand that. If it can't be explained within some reason, you probably should be concerned. And I can tell you, the truth of it is, stockbrokers and whatnot, they're completely subject to the marketplace. They don't know. They're just guessing. And when the markets rise, you know, it's like they say, a rising tide raises all ships, but also a dropping tide does that too. The other problem with what's going on is hyperinflation. So even though Biden has pumped out like whatever, $12 trillion since, or we've spent that much since COVID started or whatever it is, the spending power of your dollar is just collapsing. During that time, you know, precious metals have risen, you know, like silver's probably up, what, 50% or more, and gold probably the same. But the bottom line is, over time, gold and silver goes all the way back to the beginning of written human history in every way, shape, and form. It's been your primary form of monetary exchange throughout the whole history of the world. Yes, men along the way. So we're currently on what's called fiat currency. It's currency by declaration. It's only worth something because A, someone said it is and told you it was, and B, two people agree to use it in a commerce exchange. But that's why they've had to make so many laws. It used to be, when gold and silver was, you know, the constitutional form of money, you get all these really interesting, we call them territorial gold coins, when they moved out west and they needed coinage. There was a certain amount of weight that equated to a various amount of face value in silver and gold. And people would create coins back then when they were unable to get them. So when they had come out west, like, you know, the gold rush of 1849, they ran out of cash. They'd given it all to the vendors, and eventually the vendors left, and there was none left. So they had to start trading gold nuggets. Well, you know that story. There used to be these guys that would, you know, be in these places where they'd exchange their nuggets for whatever, or someone was taking them. They had dishonest scales, which the Bible says God hates dishonest weights and measures. They would have little countertops with little slits in them where it would, all the gold powder would slide in. There was just a lot of stuff. So they started to make their own coins. Eventually, it encouraged the federal government, the treasury, to have some urgency to get coins out to them and everything. But the fact is, the value was in the intrinsic content of the metal of the coin, not because it was made out of zinc and someone stamped it and said it's worth a quarter or 50 cents or whatever. So if you understand that, it's a timeless form of currency. It's been there from the beginning of written human history. It isn't going away. God tells us it lasts till the end. We're facing some of the most troubling times I've ever seen, and I ever will see. I think we're in a deep, deep state of trouble. Which also, you know, And we also have a deep state. And so you need to be prepared financially. You don't second guess. And here's the thing. The system, the establishment is going to discourage you. Banks, right? They want your money in the bank. They don't want, when you buy metals, you're gone. There's no control, no regulation, no record keeping, nothing. That, and then they're going to the CBDC, central bank digital currency, anytime. All these countries around the world are doing all these pilot programs. Now Japan's got on board, and you know, China's got it all over the place, and Vietnam, and there's all these places that are doing it. I can't think of the other countries, but they're all kicking in. This is where we're going. Your money is going to be the equivalent of a Bitcoin. The opposite of the purpose of Bitcoin. Bitcoin was to maintain anonymity. CBDCs are going to be traceable, trackable all the time, everywhere. Everything, you know, people exchange money on their phones and all that is going to be traced. Traced and tracked, traced and tracked. And it's going to be, I mean, that is one of the final nails in the coffin. I saw yesterday an extensive article, very scientific, very factual, about the amount of tracing and tracking and monitoring that they're doing on the unvaccinated. They have medical and legal codes for those that are unvaccinated. Everyone who goes to any medical facility has to answer all these crazy questions, way above and beyond what I'm saying about the vaccine. But everyone gets a vaccine status code. It's like a Z38 code. And it even has in the code at the end a dot number, like dot 38 or dot 22, which is your reason for not being vaccinated. They're tracking all of this so that they can come and get you later. You're a threat to society. You are a walking danger. And it's also going to be used for travel passports. Okay? So, which international is going to get real difficult. And if you want to travel internationally, it's going to be hard. Eventually, they're going to impose it domestically. Okay? So here's the thing. If you don't want to cave to the whole system and get the mark of the beast, and Revelation 14 talks about the angels, one is responsible to make sure that the technology is in place that the whole world can know the gospel. Okay? That got done. That was what we call the dot-com craze. Okay? Two, the collapse of Mystery Babylon. People disagree with this because I don't have time to lay it out every time. Revelation 17 and 18, convinced it's the collapse of the World Trade Centers. So much evidence, not one verse that contradicts that. Third, the mark of the beast. Okay, now we got hammered with COVID. We got all this technology in place, and here they come, COVID. Interestingly enough, Obama believed in the Cloward and Piven strategy, which uses the medical and healthcare system to take over the whole world because everything can be called healthcare. So now you got to get the jab, the jab, the jab. Now another jab, another jab, another jab. People are dropping off like flies. There's so much evidence that it's just slaughtering society. They don't care. But then they're going to ultimately give you the mark of the beast. Somehow. And it even says in Revelation that those who accept the mark of the beast are going to have all these boils and infections and all these problems. The Bible tells you right there. So if you're going to be limited in your mobility, you certainly can't use a CBDC. That's, again, central bank digital currency. That's the purpose. They can control you, shut you down. Why do you think they want everything on electric? Track it all the time. They can shut your car off. They can shut everything off. This is where we're going, folks, period. They've got electronic surveillance. You'll start seeing these purple lights all up and down these highways every 35 feet. They track everything. They read license plates. They even have the ability to emit lethal, what would you call it? Electric, whatever. There's some interesting videos on it, very in-depth from extremely smart scientists. They're getting everything in place, in whole. And I've discussed the timeline of Peter or whatever, 3-8 or I think it is, where he says a year's 1,000 days, 1,000 days is a year. Rev 14 says we're now in the day of the Lord's wrath or whatever. And, you know, if you just do the math, we're basically, I think we're looking at, a short period of time before Christ returns in one fashion or another. So when it comes down to the whole financial thing, I'm just telling you, you need to take care of this. And I'm telling you, stay away from annuities, etc. All this stuff, precious metals are liquid. Like I said, if they limit mobility, what are you going to carry? Your CBDC. People at first were like, oh, it's so cool. You can get it anywhere in the world at any time. And me. You can do that with cash. Anywhere in the world at any time. And you're going to have so many jabs in your system, you're going to be sicker than a dog. And the few that somehow endure it, who knows? But massive, massive numbers of people are going to be dying globally. Jesus said, as the end times come, we're going to see, wars and rumors of wars. If you're not paying attention, that's exactly what's going on. World War III is teetering in the brink. China's determined to take over the world right now. And they're working it hard. And they'll do anything that gets them to that goal. We've seen these massive earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's astounding, like 50,000 dead or something ridiculous. That's absurd. It's massive. And they don't know either because so many people are buried. They don't know where they're at. There's no, communications taken out, everything. I mean, the signs are all around us. So what do? Like I said, Genesis to the end of Revelation, gold. It's been good enough for all God's people throughout the entire Bible, including his son Christ, including Solomon, including Abraham, including everyone. And it's good enough that he says heaven is loaded with it. He also tells us on the day of wrath, the final day, you'll be chucking in the streets because it won't buy salvation. Well, at least people care about their salvation at that point. real estate you can have, but the bottom line is precious metals-based assets are liquid, transportable, and anonymous, and ultimately fungibly recognized anywhere in the world at any time. So to move on, I'll just kind of share some thoughts. We talk about all this demise, okay? America is a great country. And so everyone's ripping on it. The country in and of itself, its infrastructure, its design, its purpose, and its meaning, and its values that are early written, they're good, okay? Can it be improved? Absolutely, and even more so now than probably most times in its history. Is it being run down and attacked in order to destroy it by these radical communist-minded liberals? Absolutely. The biggest problem is the left-wing communist incursion that has taken place in our nation keeps saying they want to fundamentally transform America. I keep hearing this. What they're really saying is they want to turn us into a socialist state where the left controls everything all the time. They want power, money, and control. They have no interest in the betterment of America. Now, I know there's people that'll go, liberals, offend me. I'm sorry. I'm not saying all Republicans or Democrats. I'm just saying people, it's godliness versus godlessness. And that's it. The value system of those who know God understand the founders that created us, and they made it clear. It is so well documented. We get lied to so much. But all you got to do is look at the founding documents, and their intentions are crystal clear. Our education system is purging and scrubbing everything. This started hardcore with the NEA, the National Education Association. But now we got all this social media. And, I mean, the CEO of Google visited the White House 418 times when Obama was there and scrubbed all of its data to keep Obama looking good, to prevent the truth from coming out. They control the data. Schools, academia, and media. Those are the two massive suicide branches of our government. And I was saying this way back on my show before all, I mean, now we're in full swing. So these people, in my opinion, have no interest from what, it's obvious. You don't look at people's intentions. You only look at actions. It's not what you don't know about someone. It's what you do know. So they have no interest in the Constitution or the founding documents I just described. So this was really begun on a more rapid basis by FDR. Then President Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. Fiat currency has been the catalyst of our deep destruction. Our deep state destruction, I should say. Obama, if you want to be honest, is and was a non-American, anti-American, absolute and complete and total Muslim. Easily proven, but the media wouldn't touch it, and cancel culture began. Thomas Jefferson, our second president, wrote specifically about Islam after he visited the Pasha of Tripoli and was given a Quran and by the Pasha, which was the guru, and he was told that we, white Christian Americans and Jews, were infidel scum, and that Muslims had every right to steal, kill, and destroy from us, which is exactly what Christ said the devil does. Because Islam is the devil's religion. Islam is the antithesis to Judaism and Christianity. There's a difference between Islam and Muslims. There's many, many Muslims that don't adhere to the radical orthodoxy of that religion. However, what do you think's going to happen when the pressure comes and they got to choose? That religion has some of the highest rates of incest and rape and, I mean, you name it. It's in homosexuality and, you know, even though they're the most stringently legalistic and harsh. And they're using writings from the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. It's heavy. And the reason Jefferson went and met with the Pasha is the Muslims had just destroyed 3 ships of U.S. citizens, 750 people. Not just destroyed them. These are the Barbary pirates. Raped and pillaged, gouged out eyes, took men back for slaves with their eyes gouged out. And then they just work them to death, starve them to death. Sickest, horrible things. They capture hostages. Put them in little tiny rat holes in a mountain and with a barred thing over them. They can't stand up. They're laying in dirt, filth, feed them animal slop because they're infidels. And then they go publicly on TV like ISIS, burning people in cages, drowning them, executing, chopping off heads. All of it's designed to create fear. Then we get Donald Trump. Ooh, you better hate on him. He eliminates them. And when he said he was pulling out of Syria, he trapped them. He brought in a quorum, 400 of our finest military men. They spent at least weeks, if not more, wiring this valley where they knew they wanted to occupy. He made it look like we pulled all of our troops out. He wired this valley, killed 5,300 in one day of ISIS. All we heard about was their leader getting killed. CNN hit it. They were there. And then all of a sudden it got quiet. Before that, he did the Moab, the mother of all bombs, at this massive underground computer facility that they were running the whole world on, including every kind of email scam, etc. Trump went after him. Biden, what's Biden doing? I mean, it's not just that he's doing nothing. He's doing everything to empower evil. You know, evil's building up. It's getting a foothold. Obama did it. It's crazy. I got to keep moving on. Obama took down Egypt, Libya, Syria, and after having Muammar Gaddafi, the Libyan leader, brutally killed by his people, it was just awful. Sick. And after having him publicly killed, even though he had a treaty with the United States to help fight Al-Qaeda, Obama was transferring all of our high-grade military weaponry that we had given to Muammar to Syria. He was transferring all. He took all the weaponry back after Muammar was killed in Libya, and he was sending it to Syria. Oh, wait. Later he said, his administration said, yeah, that was to the rebels. That's why the Benghazi event took place. Christopher Stevens, our ambassador, and so on. Later on, the liberals said, sorry, we accidentally gave all those weapons to the Syrian government when we thought we were giving them to the rebels. And they said, it's just really hard to tell between the two. Sometimes it's really hard to tell. That was their answer. Obama put the Muslim Brotherhood in place in government leadership in all of these deposed regimes throughout the world. And he was sending over $1 trillion per year to Muslim and Muslim sympathetic countries. Trump put a halt to that. Biden continues this foolish madness. Although Biden is so foolish and ignorant, he's only copying what he saw Obama do. However, Biden has no clue why or what Obama was doing. He's too dumb. He doesn't understand that he had a massive agenda, a Muslim agenda. So he didn't know why Obama was doing it. That's why Obama put Biden in place as the VP. He knew Biden was, I'll say, not smart and corrupt. We have a very real deep state in our government. The communist socialist mindset has infiltrated our major branches of government systematically over decades. Many of these branches actually most of, like, the alphabet soup agencies, you know, CIA, FBI, FBA, FB, or FDA, DEA, you know, whatever they are. They go on and on. EPA, NEA, all these alphabet soup agencies or organizations are completely unconstitutional. Our initial government, our constitutionally prescribed government, was never to be large or overwhelming or overbearing to its people. It was only created and only there to serve and protect us. It has now become so incredibly ominous, monstrous. There is really no way that we can gain it back. If there was a way, we would have to recapture our academia. That's our school systems. We would have to absolve the National Education Association and begin to teach true American values. As James Madison said, this Constitution requires a religious and moral people. That's the only home we have left. The only chance. We need an absolute revival. In the interim, work hard, talk hard, pray hard, but prepare for what you see coming and is already here. You do not hang your hat on hope. We need to pray for the best and prepare for the worst. When it comes to your finances, I can assure you there's only one place that is truly secure. And the Bible makes that clear as well. Very clear. The place is precious metals-based assets. No matter what you believe, they have every single motivation to devastate all financial markets in order to strip any strength or control from the general populace. COVID was the absolute beginning test of these policies. COVID was much more effective than they ever dreamt. They never expected the American people to collapse so quickly. However, godless people worship fear. Fear and faith occupy the same part of the brain, and simultaneously, you cannot have one without eliminating the other. We're currently facing a complete and total informational takeover of our nation. The real disinformation comes from all of our web browsing and social media companies. Our schools have captured the minds of our children. COVID removed work ethic and unity from businesses and school systems. This created poor work ethic, dependency upon the government for information, and resources torn down. Middle class America, despite their ignorance to what was occurring, has been destroyed. Small business and the number one employer in America has been all but destroyed. 90% of small businesses or S corporations are politically conservative. And I am out of time. I should have got going on my little thing here a little earlier. So I'll just say Coins Plus 509-444-0044. Please don't procrastinate any longer. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you. Bye-bye.